Well, we are going to look at God's Word tonight. We're going to start in Genesis chapter 3, verse 13. Genesis 3:13. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on how you are greater. You are greater. And in Genesis 3:13 it says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman," speaking about Eve, "what is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled or tricked me, and I did eat." And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." So he's addressing the devil, the adversary. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Right? And so man, as a result of Adam's sin, lost spirit. And man also lost the dominion that God gave to man over the world. But God promised a Savior. He promised a Savior. And he promised that that Savior would bruise the head of the adversary. Right? It says that the adversary would bruise his heel. You know, he would nip at the Savior. But the Savior would crush his head. Would crush his head. So, way back in the beginning, right, man screwed up and they lost spirit and they lost the dominion they had. But God let the adversary know right away, you know, your days are numbered, right? This isn't, you know, going to end well for you, right? We're going to stomp a mud hole in you, as old Stone Cold would say. So go to Luke chapter 4, verse 5. Luke chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "And the devil, taking him," Jesus, "up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that power, that glory of the world, is delivered unto who?"
Him.
Him. Unto the adversary. And he wasn't lying about that. "And to whomever I will," whoever I want to, "I can give it." So I can give it to you. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." All right, so the power of the whole world, right, was Adam's originally. God gave dominion to Adam, and then Adam lost that. And in losing that, he transferred it to the devil. So now the devil has that power. And he said, "I can give it to you." And Jesus Christ said, "Nah, it's not that important," right? It's not that important. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." That's what's important, right? So the power was delivered to the adversary back in Genesis 3 when we read that, right? And so that power belongs to the adversary. Go to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. So that's not really a good thing, right? That's not what God wanted. God did not want the adversary to have dominion over the world. He wanted man to. But that's not how things ended up. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, It says, but if our gospel be hid, right? The gospel is the good news. Our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, right? The God of this world, right? The God of this world is the devil, right? And he's got that title because that dominion was transferred to him. He's the God of this world. Has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, right? We don't talk about how good we are, but we preach about Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants. They were servants for Jesus' sake in that preaching. Right? So the devil is the God of this world. He's the reason why the world is all messed up, right? He's the reason why things are bad in this world. It's not the way that God wanted them. It's not the way that God made them, right? It's the adversary. And he wants to blind everyone he can to a very important secret, right? A very important secret. He wants people to be unaware of this great secret. And that's a secret that God had that nobody knew about. That nobody knew about. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. The adversary doesn't want people to know about what Christ accomplished for their lives. He wants to keep it a secret. God had his own secret that he didn't want anybody to know about for a very long time. And in Ephesians 3, verse 1, it says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. God made known unto Paul this secret, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, this secret in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. God showed him that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the what? God. By the gospel, right? By the good news, right? Telling other people what Jesus Christ had accomplished. So this secret Paul was revealing is also something that the Gentiles could partake of, right? It was revealed to be available to the Gentiles also. Right, God had promised a Messiah, a Savior, to Israel. So for all those years, people thought, okay, this Messiah is coming, it's going to be for Israel. This Messiah is going to save Israel. And then as we learn in Acts, they find out that what Jesus Christ accomplished was for all men, for everybody, Gentiles too, which means everybody. If you have Israel and you have Gentiles, you have everybody, right? That Venn diagram covers everyone. So it's available to everybody. The secret became available to everybody. Verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace, of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, I was made the minister. Me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things, and by Christ Jesus is not in the text, who created all things. Right? So from the very beginning, God hid this secret. Right? He hid this secret. And we're going to learn what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In just a minute here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. But God had to keep this thing very secret. And we'll see why. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world, that come to naught." Right? We're not talking about the wisdom of the world here. That comes to nothing. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Right? God hid this secret from before the, you know, before the world, "which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And so when it's talking about the princes there, it's talking about the adversary and his army of devil spirits, right? This secret was so big that if they knew that, then they would never have crucified Jesus Christ. It would have changed their whole strategy and their whole battle plan if they had known this. So God had to keep it secret. Colossians 1, verse 26. Right, so this is a big deal secret. Because we know the adversary was out to kill Jesus Christ. He was out to destroy the bloodline so Christ wouldn't even be born. And then when Christ was born, he was out to kill him from the very beginning. But if he had known this secret, he never would have. Colossians 1:26. "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest." He's made it known. He's revealed it to his saints. And that's to us. "To whom God would make known." He wanted to make known to us the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's the secret. That's the super secret that God wanted kept secret. That it's Christ in us. It's Christ in us. The hope of glory. Right? And that's what was revealed, right, in our administration. That it's Christ in us. And that it's everybody. That it's Jew and Gentile alike. Right? And that's the big deal. That's the big reveal that God revealed after everything was accomplished and everything was worked out, that it would be Christ in all of us. Go to 1 John 4, verse 4. Why is that a big deal? Well, 1 John 4, 4 tells us. It's Christ in us. And 1 John 4, 4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them." And in the context there, it's speaking about ungodly spirits. We've overcome them because, we've overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in where? The world. And who's in us?
Christ.
Christ. It's Christ in us. And who's in the world?
The devil.
That's right. The adversary, the devil. So greater is he, Jesus Christ, that is in us than he that is in the world, right? The God of this world, the devil and all his devil spirit goonies. Christ is stomping on his head. Remember? That's the promise that God made. And it's Christ in us. And that's greater than all the junk in the world. Right? All the stuff that the adversary tries to pull. It's greater. You are greater than anything in this world. We have, past tense, overcome them. Right? You have overcome them. We've already won. Because it's greater in us than he that is in the world. And if the devil knew that, right, he would have rather had to deal with one Jesus Christ walking around forever, right, than to have to worry about Christ everywhere. Anywhere there is a born-again believer who's standing on God's word, they're manifesting the power of Christ. It's Christ in them. It's Christ everywhere, right? Not just one Jesus Christ, but it's Christ in all of us, wherever we are. right? There's Christ down in all the fellowships in Florida and California and Georgia and everywhere, right? And all these other countries, there's Jesus Christ. And we've overcome. Greater is he that is in us. Go to John 14:12. We are greater. Anywhere there's a believer believing God's word, manifesting power, that's a problem for the adversary. And now it's not just one. There's so many, right? He must have felt like the biggest dum-dum in the whole world when he figured out that was the plan. That was the secret. I only had this one to worry about, and now they're everywhere, right? That's a problem for him. John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, this is Jesus Christ speaking, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, because of what he accomplished. What are some things that Jesus Christ did? Anybody? Something.
Raise the dead.
Heal the blind.
Consistently spoke the word.
Consistently spoke the word.
Did the Father's will.
Always did the Father's will.
Calm the storm.
Calm the storm. Right. These are all things that Jesus Christ did. Now, it says here, the works that he did, we can do also. Right? We can do those things too. Cast out devil spirits. Right? He provided necessary material needs when people needed them. Right? He made food for 5,000 people. Right? He did those things. And it says that we can do them too. It's Christ where? In us. So if he did them, we can do them. We have the same ability and greater, right? We can speak in tongues. That's something that wasn't available to Jesus Christ. We've got proof of these things. Every time we speak in tongues, it's proof that we have Holy Spirit and that we can operate power, right? It's a big deal. We are greater, right, than those things in the world. The adversary has to watch out for us. Go to Romans chapter 8. But he wants people to be blind to it. He wants the people who don't know that this is available to never learn about it. And he wants the people who do know and who are born again to never operate that power. To think they can't. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Well, it's Christ in us. It's hard to separate that if it's in us. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those aren't really great things, but they still can't separate us. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, not so. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Because of what he accomplished, we are greater. We are greater. We are more than conquerors. We've got all of it conquered. Whatever it is, we've got the victory. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Right? We can't be separated from it. It's Christ in us. That love of God is always there. We are more than conquerors in all of these categories, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Right? So whatever the situation is, whatever the adversary throws at us, we have to believe and remember that that's who we are. It's Christ in us. How would Christ handle that situation? That's how we can handle it. The things that he did, we can do also. Right? We just have to believe that. Right? Because that's who we are. That's the greater reality of who we are. Right? It's Jess and it's Chris and it's Rube and it's Justin and it's everybody. You know, but it's Christ in all of us. Right? That's the real us. go to 1 John chapter 3. That's the real us. He's everywhere we are when we walk out on that word and believe it. And that's got the adversary real shook and real nervous. Because where we are, he can't get a foothold. Because we're greater. We kick him out. He doesn't have any place around us. Right? He has no hold around us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Look at this love that God has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. Right? We are God's kids. It's Christ in us. His only begotten Son is in all of us, and we are all sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not. They don't get it because the world knew him not. Right? The world's not going to get it. The adversary blinds the minds of those people. They don't want to know. And those who do want to know are going to get the opportunity to hear it, right? When we speak it. But for the most part, the world doesn't know us. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. We are now. Right now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Right now, you're a son of God. Right now, it's God in Christ in you. And greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. That's all that we have right, or that's what we have available to us right now. But we also know that he's coming back. And, you know, when he comes back, we shall be just like him. Right? Just like him. We'll have those new bodies, that resurrected form, just like he is. That's coming. In verse 3, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he, Jesus Christ, is pure. Right? And that hope is what keeps us going. That one day he is coming back. And as awesome as it is to have Christ in us right now, right? How much more awesome will it be to have those new bodies and to spend eternity with him and with God, right? And that's the hope that we have coming, when there won't be an adversary anymore, right? There won't be all of this negative stuff that we have to fight against, right? That's the hope that we have when Christ returns. But while we're here, it's greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We are more than conquerors. We have the victory. So we just need to walk out like, it's Christ right here. It's Christ. I can do the same things Christ did, right? And that's what keeps the adversary shook. That's what keeps the adversary at bay and from getting a foothold in the places that we are. Because wherever we are, Christ is.